96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Morning and welcome to Guardian Radio AM. Today is Monday, April 15th, and it's a little after 11 o'clock in the morning. Once again, this is C.A. Nuri, and I shall be your host for today. Today, Erin, she's joining me, we're going to have an open line Monday. I haven't had an open line Monday for a bit. I haven't allowed my listening audience to call in and speak on what they want to talk about for a bit and see if they can challenge us to get us to give commentary on their subjects, all right, or what is important to them or what is trending. And they say, man, they haven't heard that in the news. And I say, okay, I'll have an open line Monday for that today. So one or two things you see that in the news that bypassed us, things that is happening in the Bahamas that bypassed us, or even to the world that bypassed us, and you want us to have a conversation about it, call in. I'd be happy to engage you. The numbers are 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259. And of course, the Family Island that number is 242-300-5720. But I, as usual, I have something to talk about, Erin. I have something to talk about because I want to talk with the Prime Minister. I want to talk with the Prime Minister because the Prime Minister, you know, I only read the headlines, and the headlines tend to be
salacious
sometimes, right? So I do not know exactly what the Prime Minister exactly said, but the headline vexed me to rotten, right? So I said, oh, my good Prime Minister say that. I assume they making fun, making sport, trying to poke. They're trying to get me incensed, Erin. I believe they're trying to get me incensed so I would have come here and just spew off all kind of things.
Why are you trying to put me on this side of the floor this morning? Because obviously this is political satire.
You think so?
Yeah,
let me read
the headline and then let me tell you why.
I want to read the headline that got my attention.
Yeah.
Right? And then I want you to read the article to put it into the record so we can have a conversation about that. That's right. Good. So the headline, I see the caller want to talk about it. He want to talk about it. So I got to finish this point. Right? The Prime Minister said, rape is rape. That was the head of the PM says, rape is rape. And that took me aback because rape ain't rape. All rapes aren't the same. We see it because we've been round about this term sexual assault, mm-hmm. right? It has become into our vocabulary. They no longer use the word rape anymore, right? We now seeing that we thought statutory rape was rape. And now that has a different legal definition, right? And then a 16-year-old is different from a 15-year-old and lower, right?
So a 13-year-old is different.
Yes,
from a 15 and a 14-year-old.
So we can't say rape is rape. And any credible lawyer is quite aware of that. So that's why I got incensed and they said, "No, they're trying to bait me." The newspaper trying to bait me. And I said, I need to have Erin read this for me so I can understand exactly what's going to happen. So I think that was the Tribune. I think the Guardian. What did the Guardian say this morning?
PM, the Prime Minister want to describe rape?
Why do you want to describe rape in the first place? You're nosy. You don't need to describe and explain what rape is. Rape is rape. Rape is rape. So, call, I see you. But allow me to read, have Erin read at least one article first. And then I speak to you and then come back and read the second article. Is that good? You hear me, caller? Okay, so let's do that. Read that headline. Of course, we're going to start with National Guardian, the best newspaper in the Bahamas, right? So let's start with that.
PM, why do we want to describe rape? Though the Davis administration drafted an amendment to the Sexual Offenses Act to criminalize marital rape, Prime Minister Philip Brave Davis said he does not like the idea of, quote, describing rape, close quotes. Quote, why do you want to describe rape? Rape is rape. close quote, said Davis, when asked about the controversial issue on Friday. He said, quote, "We passed a bill that speaks to violence against persons. If you look at that bill, it covers any manner of what I call behavior that is not acceptable to society. Look at the bill that was passed." Quote, again, continues, "I don't like this idea of describing rape. Rape is rape whether you are married or unmarried. The challenge they are having is describing it. The bill Davis referred to is the Protection Against Violence Act 2023, which was passed in Parliament last year. It does not address the issue of marital rape. Under the Sexual Offenses Act, rape is defined as, quote, the act of any person not under 14 years of age having sexual intercourse with another person who is not his spouse without the consent of that person." Close quotes. You want to stick a pin there? The article continues.
I can finish the article because the article just explained that rape ain't rape. Because if I'm married, I can't rape my wife. I can coerce her.
Well, let's stick,
but I can't rape her. Rape can't be rape.
Let's stick a pin for a second. In fact, the campaign led by Equality Bahamas is called the Strike Five campaign. And it calls to strike five words from the existing legislation. And by striking those five words, the result is rape is rape. So I don't understand what the Prime Minister is saying, because what the advocates are asking for is for rape to be defined as rape.
The Prime Minister is the head. He basically sets the tune, the ethos of his government. His government don't see the need to, don't mind the passing law. And whatever it
is. No, the irony is that what the Prime Minister is saying is exactly what the advocates are calling for. Rape is rape. There should be no qualification.
We ain't changing the words. That's the point. I hear you. We ain't prepared to change the words. So if you think rape is rape, just don't know that we ain't changing the word from husband and wife. So once you get that, then you understand that there's a problem. But let's go to the callers and we can finish that article there. Go ahead, Courtney. Can you hear me?
Hey, good morning, Mr. Neary.
Turn on and read. I can hear you. It's kind of whistle feedback. And good morning to you.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning.
And good morning, Aaron. What's up?
Morning.
I heard you guys talking about rape being rape. You all know when you get before the court, you have to describe that rape, unless it's not rape, but anyway. Mr. Neary and Aaron, I didn't see you guys out on Saturday. I come for my pepper sauce, Mr. Neary, and you, there was no stall for you. And Aaron, my watermelon,
cantaloupe?
The cantaloupe lemonade was not there.
It was there.
I didn't see you.
When you come, I was there. The mango lemonade was there. The cantaloupe lemonade was there. The gooseberry lemonade was there. The mulberry lemonade was there. The starfruit lemonade was there. The tamarind vodka tonics was there. Everybody was there, but you, I ain't see you.
I would not come. You would see me.
I was there.
See?
I came early, though.
You might have gone to a different place.
No, man, I've been on Glasson Road to the big place. Okay. I think I know what happened. I spent too much time over by the livestock admiring the little baa black sheep I saw.
Listen, I was trying to adopt a goat named Curry. And when I go on, I say, which one of y'all named Curry?
I hope that big one is staring it on, because there was a big one with horns that was staring it on.
The big one turned to me as he put down another goat, you know, like he was weightlifting a goat. And I said, okay, maybe not you. I hope your name is not Curry. You are not the Curry goat I come to talk to.
No.
Oh, I so love that. I think we need to have that twice a year, man. That the store, I got so much nice things from there.
We can talk more about that tomorrow on my hour.
Yes, ma'am.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, but thanks very much. Let's go to the phone line. Just lit up. Everybody want to have a conversation. Go ahead, caller. Producer Patrick, next caller through for me, please. Go ahead, caller. Can you hear me?
Hello. Good morning.
Good morning.
Aaron, I'll vouch for you. I saw you there, remember?
Yes, sir.
I was there. The one who calls you Robin.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And so I'll vouch for you and let her know you were there.
Thank you.
But it seems like the young man there already set his topic or his agenda for the morning, because he said it's open line.
Go ahead, man.
Talk about whatever you want to talk about.
What I want to talk about is the tax system the way it is for us. I keep mentioning on the radio and to people I run into, that the government needs to spread out how we pay these taxes. The small man cannot. They think you're making money all year, but you're not. You have, just like the hotels, you have a slow period. Just like in tourism, you have a slow period. People only make money when it's back to school and when it's Christmas. But in the beginning of the new year, you have VAT, inland revenue, you got your national insurance to pay, you got your staff to pay, you got all your utility bills to pay, and I forgot another tax with the VAT. They're coming too fast. I'm not saying I don't want to pay taxes. I agree with paying taxes for the country. But they're coming too. I'm a first generation business person. I don't have money from my first and second generation like some people do here in this country. As a result, I'm closing down one of my businesses because it's just not profitable anymore. Because for the beginning of the year, all I've been doing is trying to pay these taxes on time. I'm already up to about $50,000 in taxes when you pay inland revenue, VAT, national insurance, and all of that, and try to buy. But I'm not even talking about trying to restock yet. They have to spread this thing out if they don't want people to be conniving or to close their business down, and they then create unemployment. Because people go into business to make money. Not to everything you make, you give it to them, or you put it right back in the shop. You're paying the staff going on vacation. All these things kill a business. Because the money is too much going out and not enough coming back in. And you don't have to go to school for this to realize this. So these people who come with their accounting techniques and all of that, most of them don't own businesses. They have to listen to the small man to get a better idea of how to do the tax thing. We cannot have all these taxes one time at the beginning of the year.
Thank you, caller.
Okay.
I appreciate that. And there's a number of people who are concerned about taxes and feel as if they've been taxed out of enjoying the Bahamas, right? I mentioned earlier or before on a different show that this increase in bus fees directly impact people who are making $250,
mm-hmm.
right? Because they are the ones who get taking the bus.
Mm-hmm.
And if you are living below the poverty line at making $250, that 25 cents means a lot. It takes away from you being able to pay the rent. You'll be able to buy food. And people say, it's only 25 cents. We didn't have no increases in a while.
In 16 years.
Right? I think what the government should have done was offer incentives to the bus owners to say, well, we don't want to tax the poor, those who live in below the poverty line, right? Instead, we will give you gas vouchers. We will pay tax, whatever taxes there are, bus fees, whatever it is.
Or we establish a system that's rooted in the understanding that public transportation is not a service that is expected to make a profit.
No. Mm-hmm.
That, right? This is another essential
services, yeah.
service, right? And that may mean that we need a unified bus system where owners are not pitting drivers against bus users.
Mm-hmm.
Simple as that. The bus drivers deserve a base pay. They require, I'm not talking about deserve, they require, right, benefits. Because there's study after study after study that shows the impact of driving a bus on a person's body. They need insurance, they need health care, they need, right, which is preventative health care as, mm-hmm. as well as post-injury health care. This needs to be a unified bus system, right, where bus drivers get a base salary and they get benefits that go with it, that we don't have owners that are pitting drivers against each other because this driver will drive and will return the same amount of money to you for a lower pay for himself. All of that needs to be removed because you're also talking about the dynamics that drive recklessness on the road, and there is the consideration of the safety of the passengers. And it's not sufficient to say, if you want to be safe, then buy your own car. We understand that not everybody can afford to buy a car.
Yes, I didn't believe the government did poor people a just service. It was an injustice, particularly since they continue to brag that, yes, we increased the minimum wage to $2.50, which is below the poverty line.
Still. I mean, and it may
it's,
not...
It's starvation.
It may not
increase it to starvation.
It may not be below the technically established poverty line by the state's technicians, right?
Well, we already know what's a livable wage. And anything below the livable wage is below the poverty line.
Yeah, but no, poverty line is a particular statistic. Mm. It's determined in a particular way, right? But saying that... That the state determines, or a financial institution determines what the poverty line is, doesn't mean that people that are at or just above the poverty line have access to the basic things that they need.
Yes, but I see they continue to brag. We have another caller there. I also want to talk about public disclosure. The Prime Minister made a statement. I want to talk about that. But let's go to the caller here. Go ahead, caller. Can you hear me? Go ahead, caller.
Brother Nuri.
Good morning to you.
Listen to me, sir. I heard you all talking about the public bus system.
Yes.
I don't believe in government running too much things. But I believe if the government were to take that bus system over, give people a decent salary, have the bus on a regular schedule running, it would work better. I don't know if you could remember hearing about a company they called Convenience City Transit. It was run by Lambert Raming.
Yes, sir.
That was the ideal thing.
Yes.
That is how the system should have been run. Despite what they wanted to say, I don't know why it collapsed. I don't know what happened with it. But that is for another day. But that is the way, that's a model they should have it running after. Okay?
Yes, sir.
But what I really called for, I wanted to throw in a little politics with Dr. Minnis traveling around now with Brian McCartney.
Now, okay, you throw in the politics and I can throw in the story on the front of the Guardian.
What did the story say?
The story on the front of the Guardian, so I'm pulling it open right now. Give me a second. It says, Minnis McCartney have 180-degree shift on how they view each other.
Yeah?
Yeah.
You think Mr. Minnis are trying to become leader of the DNA? They're going to try way back up the DNA? He can't do nothing no more with FNM. He finished with FNM.
I didn't think the door was going to swing in that direction.
But that's the only way I see it now. He can rotate the DNA and split up the FNM votes and cause the PLP have a next landslide again. That's the only thing I see.
Caller, before you go, I remember I said that in what election before this one? Not 2017. When I said it's impossible for Minnis to be Prime Minister of the Bahamas, I now call him Lazarus. He can raise from the dead.
No, not with the FNM.
Well, he wasn't supposed to keep the FNM too, but they had starfish. Starfish took over the whole party. I thought Minnis was dead then too, and he.
But listen to
again.
Me, listen to me, Mr. Nuri, in closing on this. Yeah. Let's get this politics thing and let's make sense with this.
Mm-hmm.
Bronwyn McCartney. Is not as popular in the FNM as he used to be. Okay? So he ain't carrying no strength in there.
Mm-hmm.
All he doing is pulling out weakness. He ain't carrying no strength in there. And if Mr. Minnis goes in a three-way race in Delaware, in Killarney, he get beat.
You think Minnis ain't going to win Killarney?
If he get in a three-way race, he can't win. Because he's not going to take no vote from the PLP. He's going to pull votes on the FNM. He can't pull no votes on the PLP. The PLP is in Killarney to vote PLP.
Mm-hmm.
Now him and whoever the FNM decide to send up there, they will have to share their votes. Now, don't get me wrong. Mr. Minnis has a group up there. But a lot of them people are FNMs. They ain't getting no DNA and they ain't getting no independent.
What about Minnis in Long Island?
No. Brian going to Long Island.
For what?
Under Minnis.
For Mutton
Fest?
Brian
will go to Long Island.
For Mutton Fest?
Huh?
For Mutton Fest, eh?
No. Brian, that'll be between Brian and Dr. Dwayne Sands.
Okay.
Under the FNM.
Okay.
And that'll be another split again. You remember Larry Cartwright when he had run it as an independent up there?
Mm-hmm.
And I don't understand how Dr. Minnis is waking up all these dead F&Ms. What he could do with Larry, what Larry Cartwright could do for him now? He's attracting the wrong set of people.
Sense and wisdom?
He means good, but he's attracting the wrong set of people. Okay. Larry Cartwright has no more clothes up in Long Island like that.
Okay.
We shall see. Call, I appreciate the call.
Yes, sir.
Thanks again.
Thank you. The door swung in the entirely opposite direction. I didn't... Is Branville a part of the DNA anymore? Can you say
DNA has been dissolved. He left the DNA and remember Ms. Kumalafi took charge and then she dissolved it altogether.
Okay.
Now she has put her ties or support, her talent with the F&M. But I anticipate a by-election in Long Island soon. The issue now is who would the PLP send to Long Island?
They can send Young.
No, I don't think they can send Young no more. That finished with.
Okay.
I think they can send someone from Nassau to Long Island. If it's me.
That don't make any sense.
No, they can send someone. They're all kind of bright-skinned Long Island red people that live in Nassau who can.
But are they willing to move back to Long Island?
No one moves to Long Island.
And live like how Long Islanders live in.
No. Most of the Long Islanders.
Because if the MP is down there, maybe they'll have.
Most of the Long Islanders live in Nassau.
If the MP is down there, maybe they'll have a working bank, unlike these other people. Long Island, we haven't forgotten you. We also are aware that Long Island residents and business owners are dealing with banking issues as well.
All that money they're supposed to do, and they still begging for bank?
No, they're not begging. One thing about Long Islanders, they ain't begging for no bank. But they say, if you say you're going to have the bank here, mm-hmm. and you tell tourists there's going to be a bank available,
mm-hmm.
then I don't use the word Long Islanders is used.
Who's the MP?
But by grab.
Let's go to the caller. Then I want you to read this article into the record, too. Go ahead, caller. Can you hear me?
Yes, good morning again, Mr. Nuri and Ms. Green.
Morning.
You said a little open line, right?
Open line, sir. Whatever you want to talk about, man.
Yes, sir. Well, year in and year out, like, we basically talk about the same issues in our country. You know, we go into this cycle where we talk about the same things. It may be a little different context, or basically it's the same things we talk about over and over again. But I wanted to ask a question before I Are senators allowed to be cabinet ministers? Like, if a person is a senator, can they be made a cabinet minister?
Let's call Michael Alkidis and ask him.
Yeah, because I was thinking the same thing. I thought he was a senator and he was made a cabinet minister, right?
I think so. Who?
Yeah. Well, the reason why
he's the Minister of State for Economic Affairs, right? Yes. Alkidis.
Yeah. The reason why I asked that is because I mean, you know, I find it to be, I mean, you might have a different viewpoint, but I find it to be kind of ironic that we elect leaders to represent us who are actually part-time workers. I mean, who wants part-time leaders? I mean, some people may want a part-time lover, but who want part-time leaders? You know what I mean? And if the cabinet is the real government, right, if the cabinet is where the real decision-making takes place, right, and that means that someone who is not actually voted for by you, like voted in by you, can be brought in and have more influence over someone that you actually voted for. You know, I mean, I feel as if, I also feel as if our elected officials who represent constituencies, that they should be forced to spend more time in their constituency office. You know what I mean? So they can hear the problems of their constituents, not necessarily be there to say, well, give them money and handouts, right?
Mm-hmm.
But be there so that they can hear and listen to these people complaining to them every day. You know what I mean? Before, even if they don't like it, be forced to sit there and listen to it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like I said before, I just find that part-time leadership to be so ironic. I think it should be a full-time job. You know what I mean? All these issues that we have in this country, I feel as if it should be a full-time job. Now, I mean, like I said before, other people might disagree with what I say. You know, probably could say whatever they say afterwards, right? But I just feel as if that's so ironic. But a topic that I feel as if we can discuss one of these days is geoengineering, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because people need to understand what geoengineering is all about. And then, because, I mean, sometimes you might look up in the sky and you see a plane fly over. And when the plane fly over, you could actually track, like, the plane, you could see the trail fly over the entire sky. You could fall, like, it just lingers, and then it eventually just, like, turns almost into a cloud. Now, a lot of individuals like to say sometimes that that's just the natural occurrence of the heat from the engine exhaust up there in the sky, right? But if you're driving your car on a cold day and you see the little, you know, the interaction of the warm exhaust from your car coming into the cold weather, you see the little smoke behind it, right? If I drive from Bamboo Shop on Carmichael Road to the airport and I reach to the airport, you shouldn't be able to follow me to the airport from Bamboo Shop by the trail I leave behind. You know what I mean? The only way that's possible is if I leave some kind of smoke or some kind of chemical or some kind of fume in the air that would remain. And they admit that in geoengineering, that they're actually spraying aluminum in the atmosphere to try and combat global warming. You understand? Now, the reason why I said it is because they've done studies now and places where there was no aluminum in the water source and in the soil source, these things are now present. You know, that kind of way. So I just want us to, one of these days, we can probably look into geoengineering and the possible effects that it could be having on us down here that we don't talk about. All right? So thank you very much.
Okay. Thank you, caller. Geoengineering and chemtrails. He's talking about chemtrails.
I just wanted to inform the caller that up to 3 senators are allowed to be appointed to the cabinet, actually. Mm-hmm. So no more than 3, but up to 3 senators can be appointed to the cabinet, and just to make sure he's aware of that. Are you another caller?
I got very upset when the current AG, right at the announcement of the proroguing of the House, mm-hmm. I think last year, mm-hmm. when he told us not to speculate, as if he was someone that we elected. Not to speculate about information they're obligated to give us but refuse to give us. Mm. Don't speculate about it. Just wait. I think that unelected officials should measure their speech when talking to people who can vote for elected officials.
We have one more caller there. Producer Patrick, call us through for me, please. Go ahead, caller. How you doing? Caller, you there? I have a text here that says, good morning. Lazarus, I guess you're meaning when I made reference to Hubert Minnis being Lazarus and able to raise from the dead. The caller, texter says, good morning. Lazarus can only be risen once. After that, he can stay dead. I guess they said Minnis can't come back. That finished with. Go ahead, caller. Can you hear me?
Come on, see you, Aaron.
Good morning.
Morning.
Again, good morning to both of you. Listen, to one of the previous callers talking about this by-election, an upcoming election, I think we need to now stop underestimating the Bahamian people when it comes down to voting. Okay? Bahamian people are very fickle. There's only a few seats on both the FNM and the PLP side that you could consider safe seats. Everything else is up for grabs. And, you know, not speaking for any particular individual, but I'm going to tell you, a lot of Bahamians today are now focused on the issues that we have to deal with, not party politics, because party politics is not working for this country. Right now, the nation needs rescuing, and we are looking for persons who are going to be leaders in this country to help take us out of this mess that we are in and bring prosperity to the hands of the Bahamian people. It is so sad in closing that those who fight against persons trying to create or develop a new system in this country to bring about these things are the same ones who are going to be benefiting at the end of the day, even though they fight against those who are trying to bring these changes. But together, we are the ones who are going to bring this together, and if we don't stand together to bring about these changes that is so relevant for this country today, we will all remain just where we are today. And some of us are just sick and tired of it. Thanks for taking my call.
Thanks. I see if you have another phone call there. Producer passed that phone call too. Go ahead, Corey. Can you hear me?
Well, good morning. Afternoon now, CA.
Good morning, man.
You know, I really appreciate that last caller. He's on point. Mm-hmm. Let me explain. While we have the issue of marijuana, same-sex marriage, spousal rape, I can give you the list of the very important issues that we use as distractions when the real issue needs to be diverted from. Let me give you what's happening today. Gas is looking like $6 right now. Israel is looking like they won't fight everybody on every corner. And if that happens, will we be looking at the energy crisis of the 70s, which could put gas up to what, $10, $15, $20 a gallon? We already see the cost of food. We already see that there's shortages in construction, in food, in pretty much every part of your life as I drive around. So my question is, the real issue is how do we fix the Bahamas and secure our country with energy and food security? Because if you can't even keep the lights on at an affordable rate for your citizens, and the electricity and the fuel throws up the cost of everything from surgery to hair and nails. So what are we doing? And when are we going to get a set of leaders that understand without energy security? See, I've been doing this now, CA, for about 25 years. We should have had this place solarized, and we'd have had that light bill with a big lasso on it and in check. Can you imagine a $30 light bill in your house, CA? Mm. That would have left you with a little couple extra dollars to buy some food, even if that price went up. And we should have been growing the basics, pineapple, banana, sweet potato, cassava, hurricane-resistant and resilient products underground, the cassava and the sweet potato. That, along with fish, could keep us alive after a global warming event like a hurricane. See what I've just told you in the last 10 minutes? Building a medical facility in the north, central, and south of this country, putting in infrastructure, that's airports. I could go on, but what's the sense? I'm just repeating myself, and you're not going to do it, CA, and that's what's so sad. We have to get off the Ferris wheel, understand where the country's at, pick the biggest effector in your living, and that's energy, my friend, because when that gas goes to $12, what the bus could be? Not 25 cents more, it could be $2 more. Let's fix the Bahamas, CA. I think you and I could do it, you know. Good show.
Thank you very much, Greg. I appreciate it. Let's read that that story into the record before we go on a break, Aaron.
PM on public disclosures?
Yes.
Quote, I made my deadline. Prime Minister Philip Brave Davis was tight-lipped today over whether members of the governing party filed their public disclosures on or before the March 1st deadline as mandated under the Public Disclosure Act. Acting Press Secretary Keisha Adley had previously said the deadline this year was extended to March 31st. Another high-level source told the Tribune that an extension had been given this year to March 15th, but could not give a reason for the decision. Public Disclosure Commission Chairman Bishop Victor Cooper, Cooper's missing in the article, confirmed that an extension was given to some parliamentarians who requested more time. However, he told the Tribune he did not remember who they were. He still could not say how many had completed their filings. Mr. Davis did not confirm on Friday whether Progressive Liberal Party MPs met the March 1st deadline or if extensions were given. Quote, I cannot say that, close quotes, he said. Quote, those questions I would direct you to ask to the commission itself so they could determine what it is. I'm not at liberty to disclose the private affairs of my members, close quotes. Could I stick a pin there?
Stick a pin there. I just tired
because
of it.
Because the last time Bishop Cooper spoke, he said ask the prime minister.
Yeah.
And now the prime minister is speaking and he's telling us to ask the commission. Mm-hmm. If we call the commission, hopefully somebody will answer. Because let me tell you about calling the independent secretariat.
I don't even know if they have phones there. Since they have no computers.
Wow. I distinctly remember the chairman of the commission telling us to ask the prime minister. Mm. And now the prime minister is telling us to ask the commission itself so they could determine what it is. I'm not at liberty to disclose the private affairs
but the commission
of
said
my
he
members.
Does not know. He
no, I know what the problem is. I know what the problem is. The prime minister, it's not even the prime minister's fault. Did the reporters start their question with, in your capacity as a member of the Public Disclosure Commission? See, because he's a member. Mm-hmm. He is one of the people that has to make the final decision. Mm-hmm. So when you say, ask the commission, I would have said, but I'm asking you now, sir. But did the reporters frame the question properly? Mm. Did they say, sir, kind, good-hearted, benevolent Prime Minister of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas, in your capacity as a member of the Public Disclosure Commission, can you answer these questions? And maybe that's where the problem is. Because like you say, it couldn't be the Prime Minister. It couldn't be the fact that they haven't gazetted outside of election declarations since 2011, and those declarations gazetted only came up to 2008. It couldn't be him. It must be the reporter that asked the question incorrectly.
So you're asking the wrong question.
No, the right question, just incorrectly. Mm. When asked whether it was, asked if he filed on or before the March 1st deadline, Mr. Davis answered, quote, I made my deadline, close quotes.
Deadline.
I made my deadline, close quotes. When asked whether it was before the March 1st deadline, he repeated, quote, I made my deadline, close quotes. I wonder if I wonder if the extension was made for him. What if like a 15-day extension was made for other individuals required to declare, but the one that Keisha is talking about, the 31st, maybe that was his. Why would he make a distinction between his declaration or his deadline and everybody else's deadline?
See, by the Prime Minister's response, it clearly indicates that there's no seriousness or urgency, no support to have this declaration be followed. There's no need for it. They're dismissing. Dismissing it. So we should just suspend the whole thing one time.
No.
Don't suspend it one time?
No.
Just keep on asking for it in vain? We might never get this information.
Because if you don't...
We haven't got last year's information.
If you don't ask for it, somebody who sounds like Hubert Ingram is going to get up and say they didn't want it because they never asked for it.
Oh. Okay.
There's plenty of people who sound like Hubert Ingram in this town, you know.
Yeah.
I was surprised by that. Let me continue reading from the article. Foreign Affairs Minister Fred Mitchell has declined to answer.
Altogether. So the hell with you.
I wonder if he declined. Anyway, Mr. Mitchell had previously said in the House of Assembly he was, quote, irritated, close quotes.
You all keep on bothering the
by I'm not a journalist. So I'm happy for this part. By journalists contact, and I also didn't try to contact him about this.
Mm-hmm.
Contacting him, saying it was none of their business.
We need each to call names so we can know which journalist to make fun of. Stop asking them questions, man.
About public disclosures.
Well, that.
That are required to be made by law.
That's okay.
And gazetted so that the public could have access to them.
Irritating my chairman.
Last year, Bishop Cooper revealed that 90% of parliamentarians had filed by the March 1st deadline. He added that many senators and senior civil servants failed to disclose their assets, income, and liabilities. The names of those who missed the deadline were not revealed, and those filings have not been gazetted.
And they'll never be revealed, never be gazetted.
The public
disclosure is what it is.
The Public Disclosure Act empowers the Prime Minister and the opposition leader to act concerning delinquent filings by forwarding the matter to the Office of the Attorney General for protection for prosecution, because they are members of the commission.
You think those international bodies who say look at us and say we're compliant as we watching and said these people can't be serious. These people in Bahamas can't be serious. They're not even obligated to report to their own citizens. You can think they can report to us.
Let me finish this article, and then I have another headline I want to respond to you with, because my words are not sufficient for this moment. The penalty for not disclosing is a $10,000 fine and or up to 2 years in prison. End of the article, PM on public disclosures, I made my deadline. I want to follow that up with this headline from The Guardian's business section today. The Bahamas' compliance makes it a credible voice for UN oversight call, says PM. Quote, having established ourselves as world leaders in compliance will further amplify our voices when it comes to calling for reforms. Another subheadline, Davis, with another mutual evaluation assessment on the horizon, we must ensure that we maintain our precedent of compliance excellence.
Compliance.
Do you know what the word
excellent? I heard excellent.
Yeah, the other word, compliance. Did you hear that word?
Yeah. But I heard excellence after compliance.
Do you know what compliance means?
To be comply.
To be compliant.
Yeah.
To comply with.
To comply with, yeah.
The Bahamas' compliance makes it a credible voice for UN oversight call. The Bahamas' strong compliance position in the world of global finance has bolstered credibility in the call for regulatory oversight of the financial services sector to be taken out of the hands of groups like the Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development and the European Union and put into a body within the United Nations, Prime Minister Philip Davis said Friday.
Willing to be compliant for foreigners, but just not for us.
Right, because I want to make a point. The first line says the Bahamas' strong compliance position in the world of global finance has bolstered credibility, because it couldn't be compliance in the world of local governance. I see you have a phone call.
Yeah, let's go to the phone call there, producer. Go ahead, caller. Can you hear me?
Yes, good morning, and thanks for the open line, Dr. Noori.
Yeah, man.
You know, I want to address two problems that I think have been plaguing our psyche. You know, we have a saying that it ain't what you do, but how you do it.
Mm-hmm.
And when you really look at it, however you do it is what you do, because on the books, the judges don't charge you for all of what you're going into. They may consider that in their sentencing, but it boils down to crime is murder or rape. I think that might be the point the Prime Minister is trying to make. I'm not sure. I'm not in his head. But then there is this other saying where we say the man is the breadwinner. The problem that comes in with that is when you have an archaic mind, you sometimes see your spouse as the bread and you the winner. So that might be, you see, these little things play on us because most of us are unevolved, right? But now here's another one to consider. There's no way you're going to put out the fire when the fire starter or the arsonist is the fire chief or the government, as in this case today, eh? Got me?
Yeah, I got you.
I presume that you are referencing the story on marital rape. I think that's a sound presumption. Caller, text me back if I'm incorrect. 422-GR96. That's 422-GR96. I'm going to check the text line. Mr. Noori, we've got lots of texts here. First text, morning, Noori, you said it's an open line. Well, I understand that the government wants to get the Chinese to buy the Grand Bahama Port Authority. Okay.
Pretty kind. The Port Authority is private. The government cannot sell the Port Authority.
That's not what the text has said.
But it's still, it's impossible. How are they going to do that? But when you don't own it.
They would present to the owners a viable buyer.
But the owners don't want to sell.
Well, that's a totally different story. That is a totally different story. You can't sell something. You can't buy something that somebody doesn't want to sell.
Yeah, that's fine.
I mean, unless you're the government.
Unless you're the government,
you could do that.
Yeah, I like conspiracy theories, but that's far-fetched to even suggest such a thing. That's just grasping at straws. The people ain't selling, they're making money. They can sit right there and make millions of dollars just sitting there. We can talk about the Grand Bahama Port Authority again, hopefully on Wednesday. And we'll just go through all of the articles that have been circulated of recent and then analyze it, do an analysis on each one and see what exactly is happening.
Right. It appears to be a simple conversation on the surface.
I just don't like it being public. This public row is not attractive.
Well,
attractive.
The conversation should be public.
There's a row.
The tone.
This is not a conversation. It's a row.
The management of details surrounding should be public.
Mm.
The way in which we have the conversation is what is of concern. Okay, I have a texter here. Texter, Aaron, the texter made a fair rebuttal on why your assumption was more valid than the other concerning the reason the fire started. I did not offer an assumption on the reason why the fire started. I said that there are so many things to be considered, including this one issue, that there's not sufficient information in the public domain to convince me and some others that they have been considered.
Mm.
Another text. Aaron, the lack thereof in the family island is an easy fix. We can get anything we need for all islands under a shared partnership through the public and the government. You need a mini hospital, helicopter, ambulance, fire engine, airport, housing, etc. Example, if all of this will cost the community $25 million, then present shares through a financial services or management firm to the public in the way of shares, stock, or crowdfunding, and it will get the community what it needs. The public will have ownership that will be managed by a management group like NAD, and the government and private will rent lease these properties and equipment. I mean, on the surface, it's a great idea. But until I see the final report on the budget for the 50th Golden Jubilee anniversary celebrations, I don't think it's an option that we can consider.
When we come back from this break, Aaron, I want you to tell me where our 7.5% shares in the Grand Bahama Port Authority.
You want me to tell you where they are after the break?
After the break, you tell me.
Okay.
Because before the Prime Minister demand taxes from the Port Authority and explain where that is. Just say, yes, we have it. And then we can move forward. And with Guardian Radio AM with C.A. Nuri, we shall be right back.
Girl, Junior just showed me Bulla Boy on his phone.
What you mean? He take picture of that good-for-nothing boy?
Shh, you don't want Bulla hair. You say that. You know she always say that's my good child.
So what he doing in Junior phone?
Oh, he there because the police looking for him. He on that wanted list.
Wanted persons in your phone now?
Yes, child. And when police want find anybody quick, after something happened, they can send picture direct to your phone. Go to Google Play or App Store and search for Crack Crime Bahamas, then pick install and it'll go straight to your phone.
There is also a section on missing persons.
Yes, girl. Everybody needs to get this app so police can tell us right away when these people go missing. Just like an alert system.
Yes, it has numbers for Crime Stoppers Bahamas so you can call and nobody knows you. Call directly to Miami and give the information without giving your name or anything about you. I tried it the other day and when I hear Junior and his boys talking about where they hide those guns, I walk quick around the corner and call that number.
Call 328-8477 from Nassau or 242-300-8477 from the Family Islands.
Just sign in and have a seat, please. They'll call you in for your x-ray shortly.
That's why they call it a waiting room. You won't have that problem at 4th Terrace Diagnostic Center or Imaging at Groner. We never schedule multiple appointments, so you'll be in and out in no time. And if your initial screening reveals a concern, our radiologist can conduct an alternative screening right then and there. Call 328-8157 to schedule an appointment at 4th Terrace Diagnostic Center or Imaging at Groner today.
The Grand Bahama News is available every Tuesday in the Nassau Guardian. You can buy your local paper at Freeport convenience stores, Western Bakery, DeGregory's Fine Foods, and Bellevue Gifts. Now is the time to reach your Grand Bahama market with affordable packages, including print and digital. Call GB News sales representative Kavandre at 822-6717 or message him on WhatsApp for ad rates. Classified ads are now available every Tuesday as well. Keep up with everything Grand Bahamian every Tuesday in the Nassau Guardian.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
The excitement, the fierce competition, the entertainment. On May 4th and 5th, our Bahamian athletes will compete with hundreds of the best from around the world to secure their spot in the Paris Olympics.
Gardner takes the title.
Come witness history as our athletes chase the sun from paradise to Paris at the 2024 World Athletic Relays. May 4th and 5th at the Thomas A. Robinson National Stadium. Get your tickets now at worldrelaysbahamas24.org or at the Andre Rogers Baseball Stadium box office.
Hey, Bahama Rock. Once upon a time in Grand Bahama, the people them lease land. Now the land they lease has gone. I said, how can land disappear? You know how they disappear it?
Oh.
They dredge all the land. It's just ocean now. They rented the land. They was renting the land to use. And instead of renting the land, they dredged the land for miles. Now the land gone. Before the government asks for taxes, they got to explain to us what happened to the Bahamian land. You see, someone is responsible for that. Someone is responsible for that. But we have all kind of taxes, taxes. But like I said, come Wednesday, we got to interrogate what has the government done to us, done to Grand Bahama. What should the people of Grand Bahama be pushing for when they said, oh, we need to be on side of the government and get the taxes? And they said, but you ain't on our side. You watch them doing these things to us, man. Because I want to know what happened. Hey. Anyway, go ahead. Just read the text.
Yeah, text here that says, how was city transit run? I know it was run well until it wasn't. As a avid bus user,
I remember City Transit and Convenient Bus Services. You same company, but two different names.
Right. You used to be able to call. I think it's City Transit. You used to be able to call a number, and they'd tell you where the bus is on your route.
On your route.
So
and
you
how
could
far
time
off.
It,
yes.
Right? Mm-hmm. And then that sort of stopped, and then they said it's because they were having difficulties getting the drivers to participate and fulfill that part of the system. Here's another text. Good morning, guys. Just to comment on the marital rape issue, this, like the Freedom of Information Act, will never be put into law in this country. They are just too controversial, even though the present government promised on coming to office that they were prepared to address such matters. I don't know if you remember a movie with a dolphin, Flipper. Well, that is how I will describe my cousin Brave, the biggest flip-flopper ever. I want to make this note here. Because some people are going to say, call a call right back, man. The Prime Minister is addressing this matter. But no. That comment right there in today's paper, this commentary, that's not addressing the matter. That's not addressing the matter.
Let's try to squeeze this caller in there, please. No, you know, we're out of time. I have 2 minutes. 30 seconds. Right. 30 seconds. 30 seconds. That's 30 seconds. You give me over 30 seconds? Ah, caller, we can't take the caller. We can't take the caller. One more text, Aaron.
Minis might have a big grouping, but a small balcony. Move back Long Island and eat mutton all day. That won't happen. Good morning. All your previous calls who made reference about former PM Minis and Branville, what your callers fail to acknowledge is that the Bahamian voters don't vote parties in. They vote them out. Mr. Ingram was the last PM who was voted in.
Well, this administration might
get
voted in.
No, it's just a matter of timing. You just got to be at the helm at the right time.
Yeah.
I mean, it turns out that we've never governed. We've always been into politics.
It's 11:59, Aaron. This has been Guardian Radio AM with C.A. Nuri. Tomorrow is Uncle Sarah with me. Yeah? Who you have tomorrow?
We're talking agriculture, agribusiness expo, and agricultural concerns.
Okay. We'll be back tomorrow. Guardian Radio AM with C.A. Nuri. Have a wonderful day. We're going to give it to our man on the guitar. Oh, yeah. Oh, no.